We are on the last section of the fourth chapter of the Gita. We have seen that this concluding section, that is, texts 32 to 42, are the conclusion of this chapter. Lord Krishna is emphasizing to Arjuna that fleeing the battlefield and avoiding his prescribed duty as a kshatriya in the cause of upholding dharma is not going to be the solution to his problems. Neither is he going to become free of sin by simply running away. Rather, if he works according to his position in the varnashrama dharma, that is as a kshatriya, in other words, if he fights, but he combines that with spiritual or transcendental knowledge, then this combination will protect him from whatever sinful reactions that may come in the course of his fighting the battle. Now this point has been emphasized in the 41st verse. We have so far reached text 40. Last time we were discussing how one must be faithful on the path of devotional service. Lord Krishna emphasizes that one who remains faithful attains to his abode very soon. One, however, who is not faithful has to come back to this material world, to the cycle of birth and death, and he becomes lost in the 84 lakh species of life, wandering from one body to another body. So for the sake of our faithlessness, we have a very high price to pay. Therefore, Lord Krishna emphasized in the last shloka that we discussed, Sanshayatma Vinashyati, that a doubter perishes. A faithful person who perseveres in the discharge of devotional service, in the pursuit of transcendental knowledge, he will eventually be successful and glorious in the end. Having said this much, now Lord Krishna will further continue the point. He comes to text 41. So kindly repeat after me.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam Jnana sanchunna sanshayam Atmavantam na karmani Nibadhnanti dhananjaya.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. One who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of his actions, and whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated factually in the self. Thus, he is not bound by the reactions of work, O conqueror of riches. So here Lord Krishna says, for one who is in the path of yoga, what kind of yoga? Ultimately, it is bhakti yoga. Whatever paths of yoga a particular yogi may be following, ultimately all these paths must culminate in bhakti yoga. All these other paths are ultimately dependent on bhakti yoga for their success. Other paths of yoga are dependent paths. Bhakti is an independent path. Bhakti yoga is not dependent on any other process save and except itself. The other forms of yoga depend on bhakti yoga for the sake of attaining perfection. So therefore, although this chapter Lord Krishna has basically been emphasizing jnana yoga, which can be achieved by the performance of nishkama karma yoga, in other words, performing activity or work by renouncing the fruits of the action that we perform at the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, it is called nishkama. Nishkama means I have no aspirations for the fruits. I have no selfish goal to attain from my work. I perform work simply for the sake of doing that work out of a sense of duty to the Supreme Lord. And I offer the fruits of my actions to Him. By such Nishkam Karma Yoga, one develops a pure heart. And one achieves transcendental knowledge. One is able to cultivate transcendental knowledge. Without Nishkama Karma Yoga, it is difficult to do so. However, as we have seen often, jnana or knowledge is meant to culminate in devotion. Again and again, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes in his purports, the scriptures declare again and again,
Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate Vasudevah sarvam iti sa mahatma sudullabhah.
Ultimately, after many, many lifetimes of acquiring knowledge, one who is truly fixed in knowledge, he comes to the point of understanding that Vasudevah or Lord Krishna is everything. Such a soul is very rare, and therefore he is called a Mahatma, the great soul, the great one. So therefore, when we speak here of yoga, although specifically Lord Krishna is discussing Jnana Yoga, we could in general terms discuss the process of Bhakti Yoga, because yoga ultimately means to link with the Lord. It comes from the Sanskrit word yuj, which means to link up. The linking process is called devotional service, because the link between the Atma and the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna is one of love. That link has been forgotten from our side, not from Lord Krishna's side. And the process of yoga is meant to revive that lost love. Therefore, we could use the word yoga synonymously with bhakti or bhakti yoga. So Lord Krishna says here in this 41st verse, first of all, yoga, that is by rendering devotional service to the Lord. Second, sannyasta karma. He says to give up all one's activities, so renounce the fruits of the actions for the pleasure of the Lord. Jnana samshinna samshayam. By cultivation of transcendental knowledge, what happens by these three things? Sanchinna sanshayaha. Sanshay means doubts. In the path of spiritual life, we are dealing with those things that cannot be so easily perceived by the senses, easily understood by the intellect, that cannot be grasped by our mind. We talk of things which are sometimes very abstract, not verifiable by ordinary means of verification available to us in this world, always the prospect of developing doubt. Doubt is a disease of the conditioned soul. As Kali Yuga progresses, doubt and faithlessness increase of God. Just look what is happening in the outside world. No one trusts anyone else, isn't it? Prabhupada explained in one of his lectures that when he was a young man, business was so easy. So many things went on faith. You didn't have too much of documentation and paperwork and many things. Getting his signature, then keeping the proof of that. It was so simple, huge, lakhs and lakhs of worth of goods used to be transferred and sold and purchased just on faith or in very simple procedure. But nowadays, because people have had such a bitter experience with people who betray this faith, so they have to become more cautious, so they have to secure themselves all kinds of agreements for every small thing, and it has to be written down, and there has to be witnesses, it has to be notarized, and then so many formalities are there, and still that agreement has no value. Still, if someone wants to break it, he can easily break, and people do. So this is an age of faithlessness. It's an age of doubt. Everyone does. One new person who was coming to the temple, he was a rich man, some years ago, not in Belgaum. And he was talking about his own life. And he was saying, one of the biggest problems I have in life is that every time somebody comes to me and talks nicely, I doubt what is his motive. Because he thinks that I am rich. Therefore he wants something from me. Even if the other person has come with a pure motive, of course apart from devotees nobody really has a pure motive. So he's always doubting. The famous American millionaires, Paul Jetty, Howard Hughes in America, were the biggest multi-billionaires in their time, the richest people in the world. They were so doubtful of everyone that they would not meet anybody without so many security apparatus and so much formalities were there. And there would be a screen just in case that person's germ should not infect him and he should not get some diseases. And ultimately Howard Hughes, he went mad. It is said that he used to dress himself with newspapers only. So this happens, this doubt is killing. It kills people. Faith brings security, brings mental comfort, it brings solace. Doubt creates agitation, it creates tension, it creates disharmony in the heart. One becomes very disturbed in a situation where we cannot trust anyone. There is always doubt. What does he want from me? What is his motive? So it is a very disturbing situation nowadays. So where in the world nobody is trusting each other, even in the homes, this is happening. Husband, wife cannot trust each other. Parents cannot trust the children. Children cannot trust the parents. Friends cannot trust each other. It is such a terrible situation. In America, one of the biggest problems, Australia, there was a survey conducted some years ago amongst young couples, married or unmarried. There, of course, it doesn't matter, married, unmarried. So they were asked, what is their biggest problem? They said the biggest problem in their life is suspicion. Suspicion about what? About their spouse. They don't know whether their spouse is cheating on them or not. Because the atmosphere is so permissive, so free. We have let loose men and women to work together, study together, do everything together. And these are the consequences of the soak. And if you try to segregate the ladies and the men for the sake of retaining the purity, then people say that we are self-appointed guardians of morality. And they use phrases like this. But we can see that they are self-appointed destroyers of sanity, of humanity. This was a number one problem. It wasn't that they were worried about their jobs or they were worried about their health. They were worried about their spouse. They were living with their spouse. And ironically, both the spouses are doubting each other. One is faithful but thinks the other may not be. At the same time, the other is also faithful but thinks that the first may not be. This is the situation. So doubt is a modern disease, far more deadly than AIDS and SARS and whatever all the latest diseases that are coming. So this doubt, naturally, we carry it forward when we come to the temple, when we read Bhagavad Gita, when it comes to spiritual life, then also we carry forward this doubt. Can it really be true? Is Krishna really God? Can it happen like this? Very difficult to develop this concrete faith, strong faith. Some lack of faith may come. I remember one time, many years ago, we were going to a college and there was a brilliant student who was a gold medalist and he started taking to the process of Krishna consciousness. Very intelligent, he grasped the philosophy very quickly, and then he started chanting 16 rounds and became one of the leading devotees in that student group. And this went on for a year or so, and one fine day he stopped coming. So when we inquired as to why he is not coming, then they were not able to give an answer. So finally I called him and he gives the answer that I don't have faith that God exists. I doubt. He said, I doubt that God exists. Such a brilliant person. He was so convinced of the philosophy. For 1 year he was chanting 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra. But the outside world is so dangerous, so nasty, that it assaults the sensibilities, the faith of any individual. It drains a person of his faith. And so this person lost his faith. The process of education, the newspapers, the magazines, the television, the intellectuals in our society are all increasing the doubts in our mind. They call this mythology. If you go to any bookstore, they will label it mythology. If you read any newspaper article or any scholar's article, they will say it is mythology, it is not fact. They find it difficult to believe that there was something like monkey soldiers who built a bridge that can float on the water, that someone could have lifted a mountain with a little finger of his left hand. So these are things people find difficult to believe because they are always absorbed in their senses. They see everything through the spectacles of what the senses can do. So if I cannot lift, or my intelligence cannot accommodate a human being lifting a mountain, I think no one can do it. And God coming as a human being, very difficult to understand this point. So doubt, doubt, doubt everywhere. This is an ocean of doubt. It is a crisis of faith in this material world. So therefore, one badly needs association of the faithful. Therefore, Bhakti Vinod Thakur has said, Shraddhavan janahe, Shraddhavan janahe, Krishna mata Krishna, pita Krishna dhana pran. He says, Krishna is your father, Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your life and soul. Oh faithful people, please have faith, understand this point. Krishna is your everything. So if we associate with the faithful, then we will develop that faith. The doubts will go away. Arjuna associated with Krishna. He heard the Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. And as a result of that, he became free from doubt. In the last verse that Lord Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita, he asks Arjuna, So Arjuna, have you heard me carefully and with attention? Is your ignorance dispelled? Has your illusion, your doubts, have they also been dispelled? And then Arjuna replies, his last verse. He says, Nashta moho smritil labdha. He says, yes. Nashta moha, my mohama illusion has been destroyed. Smritir labdha, I have regained my memory. How did that happen? Tat prasadatmaya achyuta. O Achyuta, O Keshava, O Krishna, this is possible only because of your mercy. Sthitasmi gati sandehaha karishye vachanam tava. Now sthita asmihi, I am firmly fixed in my position of knowledge. Gata sandehaha, my sandeha, my doubts have all gone, vanished, disappeared to a distant place. Now I am ready, Arjuna. Karishye vachanam tava. What do you want me to do? I will do as you say. And then Arjuna held the Gandiva bow firmly. You will remember that in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, what happened to Arjuna's grip on the Gandiva bow? His hand was trembling, his hairs were standing on end, tears were flowing from his eyes, his throat was choked up, he was not able to speak clearly, and his Gandiva bow was slipping from his hands. And now by the time the Bhagavad Gita was over, he heard Krishna with faith and attention, and his grip tightened again. Yes, now Arjuna, now Krishna, I am ready, whatever you say. In the same way, when we hear the Bhagavad Gita, our grip on our life should become fixed. Without Krishna consciousness, we are like a boat being tossed about in the ocean, in the waves of the ocean, sometimes this way, sometimes that way. The waves of the ocean of material existence are very powerful, and they sweep away even huge ships. So we are all here being tossed about in the ocean of material existence. We have no grasp or control on our own destiny. But when we become Krishna conscious, we understand the purpose of life. We understand the aim of life. We understand that now I am an eternal part and parcel of Lord Krishna. To serve Lord Krishna with faith and devotion, by chanting His holy names and hearing and glorifying Him in the association of devotees, I can achieve pure love for Him. And then I can come out of the cycle of birth and death and go back to the spiritual world, to the kingdom of God. This is my purpose in life. He is fixed. Vyavasayatmika buddhihi ekeha kurunandana bahushakhahi anantasya buddhayo avyavasayinam. Now he becomes fixed, one-pointed in his resolve. Therefore we see that Anjali are so much more clear about their goal of life and what they want to do. Of course, so long as we are in this material world and we have this body, there is going to be disturbances of so many kinds coming in at every moment, which may disturb our mind. But nevertheless, our goal is clear. Our goal is fixed. In this way, Lord Krishna is emphasizing here to Arjuna that if he attentively follows this path of cultivating spiritual knowledge, renouncing the fruits of his actions, and rendering service to Him, then he will become free from doubt. Lord Krishna further continues this theme in the last verse of the fourth chapter, which is also a very nice and important verse. So kindly chant after me. Tasmad ajnana sambhutam Ristam jnana sinatmanaha Chitvainam samshayam yogam Atishtho tishtha bharata. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. Thus far, Arjuna has been determined to not fight. And he had already declared his intention firmly to Krishna. O Govinda, I shall not fight. And now, Lord Krishna is telling him, combination of work and knowledge will free you from your problems. Not abstaining from your actions, your prescribed duties. So in this very important verse, Lord Krishna is describing knowledge, spiritual knowledge, as asina, as a sword, as a weapon, by which the doubts that we have in our heart can be destroyed. Hrit means the heart. So various kinds of doubts are there in the heart. And these doubts come about because of hridaya granthi, because of knots in the heart. Karma is very powerful. Material attachments in this world are very powerful. They entangle themselves and create all kinds of knots. We have a knotty problem in our heart. And very difficult to untie those knots. If it's a simple knot, yes, you can untie. But when there are so many knots, and so many times it is done, such complicated knots, to unknot it, untie, is practically impossible. So what is the option left? What is the only way we can do it? Cut. We have to cut it. And for cutting, we need a weapon. So what kind of weapon can we use? It is a weapon of spiritual knowledge. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, Jnana asinatmanaha, Jnana asina. By the weapon of knowledge, all these doubts can be slashed. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second chapter of the first canto, there are many beautiful descriptions of how the process of bhakti grows and creates a peaceful situation within the heart of the devotee. Those of you who are more serious in wanting to study this Krishna conscious philosophy, kindly refer to the second chapter of the first canto, a very wonderful chapter, where the process of bhakti has been described. In the beginning verses, that Suta Goswami, the great sage, speaks to the sages assembled at Naimisharanya in response to the questions that they ask him. Suta Goswami begins explaining the goal of life and how to achieve it. Perhaps let us see if we have time, we will try to discuss these 7 or 8 verses, which are very, very beautiful.
Atah pundu puja shrestha varna shama vibhagashah svanushtitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam.
Suta Goswami says, the perfection of the occupational duties that a person may perform in the various varnas and ashramas in life, that is, being situated in various positions in life, is that one should please the Supreme Lord Sri Hari or Sri Krishna. Samsiddhim Haritoshanam. So to please Lord Hari is a perfection of our activities and our work. So how to please Lord Hari? What is the activity we have to do in order to do that?
Tasmadekena manasa bhagavan satvatam patihi shrotavyah kirtitavyascha smartavyascha chatabhayam.
Very simple. Smart. Therefore, since our duty is to please Lord Krishna, ekena manasa, with one pointed attention, what should you do? Shrotavyah, you should hear. Kirtitavyah, you should chant. Smartavyah, you should remember. What? You should remember the glories. Bhagavatam. Satvatam Patihi, who is the Lord of the pure-hearted devotees. So Suta Goswami has given his formula that one should spend one's time as much as possible to hear about Lord Krishna, to chant his glories and to remember him. And this is the way we can please the Lord. Sometimes people ask, just by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, just sitting and hearing, can you please the Lord? We should feed the poor. We should treat the blind and the diseased. But the Shastra says, and chant and hear the glories of the Lord. You can please the Lord much more than you can by any other service. This is the highest service. Many times, even amongst devotees, this discussion takes place. And devotees say, well, you are chanting 16 rounds and you are hearing, but what service are you doing? It implies that hearing and chanting is not service. It is actually the highest service, the most pleasing service to Krishna. And it's most pleasing to the individual also, to the jiva, because it's the highest dharma. So every jivatma can be totally satisfied only by the process of hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Krishna. There is one saint who has said, 1 ounce of devotion or love for the Lord is more pleasing to God than many tons of work. Please reflect on this. Very beautiful statement. 1 ounce of pure love for the Lord is more pleasing to Lord Krishna than tons and tons of hard work. That doesn't mean that we should not do work, but we should work for Krishna. And even when we do various kinds of services for Lord Krishna, we should make sure that our soul is getting suitably and sufficiently nourished with topics of Lord Krishna, the glories of Lord Krishna, the holy names of Lord Krishna. Then the Atma is pleased and Lord Krishna is pleased. So Suta Goswami has given very clearly his formula. And then he says,
Yad anudhyasina yuttaha karma granthi nibandhanam chindantu kovidastasya kona kuryat katharatim.
He says, therefore, Anudhya. Anudhya means remembrance. Asina, again the same word has been used as Lord Krishna uses here. Asina is a sword. Yad anudhyasina yukta karma granthi nibandhanam chindanti. So, Lord, the Sutta Goswami says that by the sword of remembrance of the Supreme Lord, in this verse of the Gita, Lord Krishna is saying knowledge is like a sword. Now, Sutta Goswami is saying remembrance of the Lord is like a sword. And then what do you do with that? Chindanti, you cut to pieces. What do you cut to pieces? Karma granthi nibandhanam. The karma granthi, the hard knots of karma vikarma and the action reactions of all the work that we have done for so many lifetimes, which are binding us, which create bondage in the cycle of birth and death. You can cut it. Chindanti kovidaha tasya. Vidaha means to know. Kovida means one very intelligent, wise. So a wise person who wants to become free from bondage, he cuts the hard knot of reactionary work by the simple process of remembering Krishna. So then Sutta Goswami says, Ko na kuriyat katharatin. Then who is that person who will not follow this and remember Krishna? Such a simple process. Just come to the association of devotees and hear about Krishna, and you can become free from bondage. And then he explains,
Shushrusha Shaddhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchihi Yan Mahatsevaya Vipraha Punyatirtha Nishevanat.
He says, great service is done when one serves those devotees whose hearts have been purified of all vices, of all sins, of all anarthas. When we serve the devotees of the Lord, then what happens? Vasudeva Katharuchihi. Then the taste for hearing the messages of Lord Krishna will be aroused in the heart. See how systematically Sutta Goswami is developing his point. Earlier he has described that the goal of life is to please Lord Hari. Then he says, to hear, chant and remember the Lord is the way to please him. And then he goes on to describe that it is an easy process to cut the reactions of your work. So why not accept it? Every wise person should accept it. And now he goes on to say, how to develop the taste for hearing? By serving the Vaishnavas. Very simple. When we serve the devotees of the Lord in a faithful mood, without doubt, without seeing their defects, then Vasudeva Katharuchi, we become blessed by the desire to hear. It is very rare in this world. How many people in Belgaum, how many people even know that such kathas take place here, but how many people do we have today? How many people had so many reasons for not coming? It is not easy to develop that strong desire to want to hear Krishna Katha. So many reasons are there, and then we find some way or some reason to not come and nourish our soul. So it is very important that we come to the association of devotees, serve the devotees in a very humble and menial way, forgetting our positions in the outside world, forgetting our positions inside the community of devotees, remembering that we have only one position, and that is we are eternally servant of the Lord and His devotees. In this mood, we can develop the desire and the taste to hear about the Lord. Otherwise, we will find spiritual discussions very boring. We will feel sleepy, and we will not feel inclined to come. Then Sutta Goswami says,
Nashta praeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishthiki.
So in this very beautiful shloka which we chant every day in the morning, we say nashta praeshu abhadreshu. All the abhadra things, that is the uncivilized things, all the unwanted things in the heart will be destroyed by nityam bhagavata sevaya. Therefore every day we must come to the association of devotees and hear
the potent messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By doing that, we develop what is called Naishtiki Bhakti. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So this firm, resolute bhakti, not the wavering bhakti. Wavering bhakti means doubtful bhakti, where our Shraddha is not strong, where we are there chanting sometimes, we are in the temple sometimes, we are not in the temple sometimes, and we are shaky. Naishtiki bhakti means with firm, resolute determination, we perform our devotional activities.
Then Sutta Goswami goes on to say, Tada rajastamo bhava kamalobhadayaschaye cheta eterana vidham hitam sattve prasidati.
He says, when this happens, when Naishtiki bhakti comes in the heart, then all the effects of rajagun, tamagun, like greed, lust, etc., they disappear. And then what happens? Hitam sattve prasidati. One becomes situated in pure goodness on the spiritual platform. One becomes very happy. How happy does one become? He goes on to further explain.
Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate.
One who is performing bhakti must be very happy. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogatah. The natural consequence of rendering devotional service to the Lord is one becomes happy. Therefore Prabhupada's slogan was chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Prabhupada used to say, we ask people, you chant, and they say, can't. So Prabhupada said, how can they be happy then? We are giving such a simple formula for success, for happiness. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But they don't want. They want all the complicated solutions which will never give them happiness. And then finally, Sutta Goswami goes on to say,
Vidyate Hridaya Granthi Chidyante Sarva Sanshaya Kshiyante Chasya Karmani Drishta Evatma Nishvare.
Then he says, Vidyate Hridaya Granthi. When this happiness of bhakti arises in the heart, it pierces Vidyate Hridaya Granthi. The knots in the heart are pierced.
Chidyante Sarva Sanshayah.
Then all the doubts, Sarva Sanshayah, they are chidyanti, they are cut to pieces.
Kshiyante chasya karmani.
All the actions and reactions of our karma, kshiyante, they are destroyed. Drishta evatmanishvare. And one sees the self as the master, as the soul. One does not identify with the body anymore. So, and see, in what a beautiful way Sutta Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam has developed the theme of how by rendering devotional service to the Lord, one can become ultimately free of all doubts and become fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. As we have discussed last time, Krishna does not like a devotee who is faithless. We are rendering devotional service, but we still have doubts. Then, particularly Sanshayatma Vinashati applies to such a person. Now that we have taken shelter of the Lord, we should try to have complete faith. I would like to tell you a small story of a rock climber, a mountaineer. You know, there are many people who like adventurous life. And some of them like to climb mountains. It's called rock climbing. So there was one rock climber who was climbing up a cliff or a mountain. And his friends were on the other side and he was here. And he climbed up and suddenly after reaching a great height, he slipped and fell. Now you know that cliff rock climbers, they usually tie themselves to some point. Just so that in case they slip, the rope will protect them. So this rock climber fell down and he was hanging. It was dark by this time, so he did not see where he was. All he knew was that he had slipped from this cliff and he's dangling. There is a rope around his waist and the other end of the rope is tied to a big rock up on top of the cliff. And he's dangling there. There is no way for him to do anything. And then the rope broke and he fell further. And then he came into a tree and he was hanging from the branches of a tree which must have been protruding from the cliff. And he was there hanging for his dear life. How long can you go on hanging with your two hands? Finally, when he was in the point of losing his strength, in utter desperation, he called out to God, "God, please help me, please help me." And lo and behold, he was surprised. A voice came out from the sky. "My dear child, I am with you. What do you want?" He was surprised. Looks all around, he couldn't see. Naturally, it was dark. "Is it you, God?" "Yes, it is me." "Really, it is you?" "Yes, really, it is me." "Please save me." "Yes, I will tell you the way out. Simply leave your hands." Now imagine yourself in his position. It is pitch dark. You have fallen from a cliff. The rope has broken. Somehow you got entangled in a tree. You are hanging for your dear life with the two hands from a branch. You don't know where you are. And God's voice comes out and says, "Don't worry, have no fear, I will protect you, but leave your hands." What would you have done? What would all of us have done? Anyway, the night went by. Next day, the rock climber's friends, they came and they found this man who had just been, his shirt had been stuck in that branch where he was hanging, and he was just 2 feet above the ground. What do you think of this story? So when he was hanging, he was actually hanging for his dear life, and his feet were only 2 feet above the ground. And if he had obeyed God's instructions and let go, he would have just fallen 2 feet. He would not have hurt himself. But because he did not have faith, he doubted, "Will God protect me? Can I just leave my hands and just go down? And suppose I fall down, it's a great depth, what will happen? I will die." In other words, unless we are free from doubt, we are not qualified for Lord Krishna's complete protection. Unless we give up all other shelters, Krishna will not give us complete shelter. Draupadi, when she was being disrobed in the assembly of the Kauravas, she tried calling for protection from her husbands, from the elders in the assembly, and put their heads down. Draupadi then tried to protect herself with her own strength, with her own hands. But even that was very difficult. Then she tried calling for Krishna with one hand up. But Krishna said, "Nothing doing." Then she put both hands up. And then when she called out for Govinda, then Krishna incarnated as a cloth and protected her. That is why in this age, that same Krishna who protected Draupadi and forced her to raise her two hands has come himself raising his two hands. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can see that picture there. He comes raising his two hands. And when we chant Hare Krishna, we also raise our two hands. Raising our two hands means we have given up all other shelters. We have let go the branch of all other means of protection in this world. Our bank balance, our family, our job and business, the policemen, the doctors who can protect us and save us, lawyers, everyone. We are dependent only on Krishna. In other words, freedom from doubt means complete faith in the protection of Krishna. Rakshasyati iti viswaso. These are the symptoms of surrender. Therefore, Arjuna could say in his last verse of the Gita, Kalshe Vachanam Tava, who can speak like this? Who can say, I will do whatever you say? Only a person who has surrendered totally. Only he can say. So the symptoms of surrender have been described very nicely in our shastras. Anukul yasya sankalpaha. We accept everything that is favorable for the sake of serving the Supreme Lord. Pratikul yasya vivarjanam. We give up anything that is unfavorable, so to have complete faith that Lord Krishna will protect me. Gopatritve varanam tatha. To have complete faith that Lord Krishna is my maintainer. Atmanikshepa. To realize that we are totally dependent on Lord Krishna for the fulfillment of our desires. To realize our utter dependence on the Lord. And lastly, karpanyam. To understand that I am an insignificant living entity. I have no value. To feel very humble about oneself. Sarvidha saranagatihi. These are the six symptoms of surrender. So one who wants to progress on the path of faith and devotion should try to cultivate these six limbs of surrender and try to do these as seriously and sincerely as possible. Then the doubts will grow, and in one day when we have to leave the body and then Krishna comes and asks, my dear devotee, now are you ready to come back? Are you ready to leave this body? Are we going to say, no, Krishna, please give me another month. I have to settle my family matters. I have to settle my business affairs. I have to do this and that. Are we going to reply that? Or are we going to say what Krishna said? Nashta moho smriti labdha. Tat prasadat mayachita sitasmi gati sandehaha karishe vachanantava. So our goal of life is to reach that situation when we can face Krishna with our hands folded and say, Tava Asmi, that I am yours and you can do as you wish with me. If you want to take away my soul from the body now, it is yours, you can do so. Marobi Rakhobi Jo Ichha Toha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you want to kill me, you want to keep me alive, it is your wish, my dear Lord. Manasa Deha Deha Jo Kichhi Toha. Everything that I have, my mind, my house, my family, my wealth is all yours. This is faith, total surrender. This is our ambition, our aspiration, our goal in life. This faith is a very wonderful feeling. We can understand it from the experience of the great souls who have it, and they speak wonderful prayers in the Bhagavatam and in the other verses. Like Prahlad, he had complete faith in the Lord. He did not even bat an eyelid when Hiranyakashipu tried to persecute him in so many different ways. Ambarish Maharaj did not bat an eyelid when Durvasa Muni created a fierce rakshasa to kill him. He did not even cry for Krishna's protection. He simply folded his hands and remembered Lord Krishna. So these are great examples, inspiration for us to move ahead on the path of faith. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So with this we conclude the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And from next Saturday we will begin with the fifth chapter. If there are any questions, you may ask.
Talking about Draupadi, she was just not an ordinary woman, and she was a surrendered soul also. And what was the specific reason of her calling her husband, elderly person? So they were also devotees of Lord, and then finally she had to call up Krishna.
So your question is, why did she directly not call out Krishna first? Because in the ordinary course of events, one normally calls out to those who are meant to protect us and who are near us. It's a natural thing in human society. The husband is supposed to protect the wife, and if the husband is nearby and somebody is doing something wrong, then naturally the wife calls for the husband. It is only natural in the way of human dealings. Secondly, this pastime has taken place also to teach us a lesson that ultimately everyone who is supposedly our protector is a fallible soldier. As Gajendra also experienced when he was fighting with the crocodile and none of his relatives could come to his help. So also we are going to experience a death. Nobody can come to our rescue. Not the doctor, not the lawyer, nobody. So all the people upon whom we rely for protection are fallible soldiers. They cannot protect us. Narad Muni explains to King Yudhishthir in the Bhagavatam. He says that who can you protect? When a person is bound by the three modes of material nature, he is bound by his own karma, and he is under the stringent control of time, what protection can you give such a person? So it's a very important point. So then, who is our real protector? Rakshishyati iti vishvaso. So from this pastime, we get the very important message that ultimately it is only Lord Krishna who is our protector. So when we have trouble in life, as we always will, till we die, we should rely on Lord Krishna's protection with full faith. At the same time, when we have responsibility for protecting others, we should do our utmost because we act as Krishna's instruments for the sake of protecting those who are dependent upon us. So this very important lesson we learn from the story of Draupadi. Okay?
In this world of heavy competition, actually, one's faith gets shattered very easily. Because that's why even if he comes from the association of devotees, something happens outside and his faith is not there. So, suppose he has to work, otherwise he cannot maintain to the competition of the world. So, both things he has to maintain, his Krishna consciousness as well as getting materially progress. Otherwise, he is not on that platform to be totally surrendered to Krishna. So, if he doesn't work, then what may happen is he is neither this way nor that way. So, how should we cope with this?
As we discussed earlier on, the great disease of this world is doubt. And the world specializes in creating doubts in our mind and making us lose our faith. Maya is super specialist, acting through the outside world, constantly bombarding us with sense objects, with information, with data, to destroy our faith and create doubt. So what must we do? The only thing we can do is to inoculate ourselves, vaccinate ourselves. Not by coming just occasionally to the association of devotees, but by coming regularly. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nityam, always. And where it is not physically possible for us to come to the association of devotees, we should keep ourselves engaged in hearing, chanting, some service. At our own homes, we should chant, we should rise early, we should chant the holy names of the Lord regularly. We should read these wonderful books that Prabhupada has given us very regularly, every day without fail. At home, we should chant the holy name in Sankirtan with the family members. These are things that we should do to keep our faith. We should avoid associating with non-devotees. Rupa Goswami has explained very nicely in Upadesha Amrita what things are favorable for one's devotion and what are unfavorable. We should follow those things. We should associate with non-devotees only to the extent that is absolutely necessary for the conduct of our duties outside. The rest of the time we should be devotees.
or performing some form of devotional service, then we can protect ourselves. And ultimately, of course, we should always pray very intensely to Lord Krishna to protect us, to protect our faith. Injury to the body is not such a serious thing. In any case, the body is going to die one day, going to get destroyed. But injury to our faith is very serious. That scar takes a long time to heal. So therefore, we should be very cautious of who we associate with, what influences we are exposing ourselves to, because these things will create scars on our faith. And these impressions will disturb us in the execution of devotional service. So we must be very serious about devotional service. We should not be casual. And at every moment in our lives, we should be always considering whether what we are about to do is going to be helpful for our spiritual life or not. We should be introspective in this way. Then we can protect ourselves. How does a miser protect his wealth? In the same way, we should protect our Krishna consciousness. But we should not be miser. We should also give. A miser doesn't give his wealth. You should also share your wealth with others, your wealth through your protection also. When you give what you have acquired by Lord Krishna's grace, then you will be able to feel Krishna's protection. Because Krishna says in the 18th chapter, that one who distributes my message is very dear to me. So when you speak about what you have heard and learned and have faith in, you propagate the message to as many people as you can, then Krishna will protect you. Alright?
Mm. So it's so difficult actually, maybe it's easy to say that we should not have association of non-devotees, but when we are into work, 90% of time goes into association with non-devotees. Well, really difficult to say. And that means to say indirectly that I think we should leave everything and just be in service of Krishna so that we progress.
Well, it's true that it is very difficult. Wasn't it difficult for Arjuna? Is it more difficult for you to perform your business activities than it was for Arjuna to fight the battle? Was it?
Krishna was there face to face with
him. So Krishna is here face to face with you. Krishna was face to face with Duryodhan also. It didn't make a difference to Duryodhan. So what is the guarantee that if Krishna comes face to face with us, we will accept him like Arjuna did? So it is not Krishna's physical presence that is the important thing. Krishna is non-different from his message. His words are also his physical presence. There is no difference. In faith, faith goes beyond space and time. Duryodhan was very close to Krishna in space and in time. But he had no faith. So Krishna's physical proximity was of no value to him. But we are 5,000 years after Lord Krishna. But if we have faith in his message, in his words, in the process of service to him, then our faith will transcend that space and time, and actually from the spiritual platform, Krishna will be very close to us. So when you say that Krishna was very close to Arjuna and therefore he was able to do his very difficult duty, the answer is that so is Krishna close to you and to me and to all of us. Krishna is the closest person to ourselves in the soul. He is there in our heart. So when we practice Krishna consciousness with utmost sincerity, we can perceive Lord Krishna's presence everywhere. And we can perceive his presence by our sight. Bhakti hi parishana bhava virakte anyatya chai shatrika eka kalaha prapadyamanasya yathasnatahasyo tushti tushti kshudapayonughasam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Navayogendra has explained to Maharaj Muni that the process of rendering bhakti is like the process of eating. Yatha ashnatahasyo. Ashnata means to eat.
When you eat with every morsel, anughasam, with every morsel that you eat, three things happen simultaneously. Tushti, you become very satisfied. Tushti, your body becomes nourished. Shud apayo, you become free of hunger. Similarly, prapadyamanasya, when you surrender to Lord Krishna with your heart and soul, then three things happen simultaneously. One is you develop love for the Lord, bhaktihi. The second, para isha anubhavaha. Para isha means anubhavaha, you experience him. You actually experience his presence in your life. He is there with you. You are never alone. Virakti anyatra. The third is you become detached from everything that is not connected to Krishna consciousness. These three things happen together. So the more sincerely we execute our Krishna consciousness, even in our workplace, in the midst of non-devotees, we will experience Krishna's presence. And we will see that Krishna is there driving our chariot. So Krishna will afford us protection in proportion to our dependence on him for that protection. Like a small child. The smaller the child, the more the parent will look after that child. But when the child grows up, 6 years, 7 years, then he has freedom, he goes running here and there. The mother is not so much worried all the time. And when the child becomes an adult, then he's on his own anyway, not dependent. So then the parents don't look after the children with so much attention. So to the extent that we seek Krishna's protection, he will give it to us, even in these situations in the outside world. So, if our occupation demands that we should be associating 90% of the time with non-devotees, then we should be very sincere that in the 10% of the time, we do our Krishna consciousness so nicely, so sincerely, and cultivate a consciousness where we are dependent on Krishna for his protection all the time, then the 90% of the time we will be secure. And another point also, if we are spending 90% of our time for our business activity, perhaps we should reconsider whether we are spending too much time. 90% is a lot. One should spend 8 hours a day for one's professional activity. One should spend 6 to 7 hours for sleeping. Another 2-3 hours go for bathing and some little miscellaneous works and recreation and chit-chatting. Nowadays people cannot do without chit-chatting, so some leeway. 15 hours plus 3, 18, we still have 6 hours for Krishna. Let's give a concession of 2 more hours. We still have 4 hours for Krishna. 4 divided by 24, 1/6. So we have almost 20% of our life. 15 to 20, 17 to 18% of our life, which we every day we should directly give to Krishna. So if we plan our life properly, then everything will go smoothly. Krishna explained to Arjuna, Tasma sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyaca. You are performing your duty of fighting as a kshatriya, so fight. But constantly remember me. Sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara. The word anusmara implies go on remembering, not just smara. Mam smaracha, Krishna could have said. That you fight and remember me. But Krishna wants to say anusmara. Go on remembering me all the time. So also when we are in the outside world doing our profession, our business or whatever we may be doing, then we should practice trying to remember Krishna always. We should surround ourselves with Krishna's photographs. So whenever we look around, we see Krishna. We may chant Hare Krishna in the middle, in between little works. There are so many little things we can do to keep reminding ourselves of Krishna, even in the midst of our work. And in that way, we will be blissfully Krishna conscious, even hours for our business activity. And then the rest of the time, we can be very particular that we will use it very nicely, we will engage it very productively in Krishna consciousness. We will not waste even a single moment for idle gossip or for other non-useful activities. So one does not have to give up one's occupation. One may continue, but one should Krishnaize one's occupation by following Lord Krishna's formula. And then, of course, one should devote the fruits of one's profession for the service of Lord Krishna. And in this way, one will achieve Krishna's favor and protection. All right? Question is answered.